Hi everyone, it's Mark and Amy from Beepo. Recently, we attended a real estate conference where we conducted a focus group with a number of real estate principals, and we would just like to share with you some of those questions and their answers in this recording. The first question was, tell me about the quality of the staff in terms of their language and communication skills.
So one of the key things that a lot of people don't know about the Philippines is that English is actually the primary language. So Filipinos grow up speaking English at home. They go through their whole school and university career speaking English, and it's actually the second largest English-speaking population in the world. So what that means is that in terms of communication skills, you've got lots of people who speak English. You've got lots of people who are university educated. And if you combine that, find someone who's young, who speaks great English and is university educated, you're well on the way. Now, you do also obviously have to test a little bit of that communication, particularly if someone's going to be over the phone and is going to be representing your brand, then, you know, there's further testing involved. But for the most part, the quality in terms of language and communication is awesome.
And what about in terms of technology? So office communication, phone, email. Tell the audience about how that works.
Yeah, so staff in the Philippines at Beepo are working from a professional office. So the Beepo office is much like you would expect any other Australian office to be, you know, super high-speed fibre internet. Most staff have a phone on their desk, and not only do they have a phone on their desk, but it's actually an Australian phone number. So we can have an 07 or an 02 or an 03 and match that to the local area. Obviously, email, staff are on email. One of the best things that and opportunities, I guess there is you can actually morph that standard of communication and match that with your office. So if you have a lot of people who are phoning in, you've got a lot of tenants phoning in, you tend to take a lot of phone inquiries, then staff in the Philippines could be answering that number. You can divert it to them. It's cost of a local call. If you have a lot of email traffic and you're finding that that's one of the ways that you want to push a lot of, you know, maintenance queries and things like that, then staff in the Philippines can be working from email or a combination. There's some people in our office who are actually taking calls. At the same time, they might be answering questions on chat, and then they're logging that information in a CRM. So it's really a multi-channel environment for communication.
Great. So what about training? Who was responsible for training the staff?
Training is such a crucial and important part to making the whole Philippines-Australia integration work. At Beepo in the real estate space, we actually have a two-week compulsory training program. And Beepo puts all candidates through that when they work on any real estate client work. And the reason why we do that is the real estate context is so significantly different in the Philippines than it is in Australia. So, for example, in the Philippines, they don't even have property managers. You know, when you pay rent, you just go direct to the landlord and you drop in every couple of weeks and pay cash to the property owner. So we have to teach the staff about the context of the Australian real estate environment. We have to teach them about the legislation, but we also teach them about the software and the tools that they'll be using. So in terms of training, you know, Beepo very much takes a proactive view of that. When it comes to on-the-job training, so how that particular process likes to be done in your office, you can get involved in training on that. Or we also have a product where we have standardized processes that we can match to. So yeah, training is absolutely crucial. And I think that's one of the things that some people tend to not understand the value of doing that training and getting that context right before you push on to, you know, getting the task done.
And so, Amy, if a real estate agency decides to engage with Beepo, do they nominate who becomes their team member, or, you know, what's the process there?
Yeah, so we very much encourage for clients to get involved in the final selection. At Beepo, we do all the hard work behind the scenes. So we have over 1,000 people a month who are applying for jobs at our workplace. It's a workplace of choice in the Philippines. We take those candidates, we put them through the ringer. We put them through communication testing. So we do a listening test, a writing test, and a numerical test. Of all of those, the listening test is most important, because what we're testing for is, do those staff have an ear for the Australian accent? You know, can they hear what we're saying, and do they get us and the way that we speak? After that, we do skills-based training. We can also do profiling if required. And after all of that, we put forward the best person for the job based on our expertise. The client can get involved in that as much as they like, but typically it'll be a final interview stage where there's a Skype session or a Zoom session, which they jump online and have a video call with the candidate.
And so how long is an engagement? Can you have someone, say, work for 3 hours a day, or does it need to be more than that? Can it be less?
Yeah, so there's three options that we offer for real estate clients who basically have a part-time option. Now, the workday in the Philippines is 9 hours. So a part-time is about 4.5 hours plus half an hour for lunch and a 15-minute break. So a part-time engagement is one option. Second is a full-time engagement, so 9 hours a day, 5 days a week. Now, standard is Monday to Friday, but some clients actually choose to have a Tuesday to Saturday engagement as well, particularly if it's sales support, because agents are on the go and they need that support on a Saturday. So there's also options for rotating rosters if you need 7 day a week coverage. So full-time is the second option. And the third option is we actually have a product for property management departments called PM Assist, and that's based on a per property, per month engagement. So what that means is if you've got a small portfolio, you might just have 50 properties, you can actually engage and get our help with set tasks for $14 per property per month. Best thing about that is if suddenly if your rent roll goes up or down, you're only paying for what you need.
Great. And so just say I wanted to hire someone to call my database, re-engage with past and present customers to try and find new opportunities. Can you give me a typical bio of what sort of person would be doing that work?
Yeah, so that's quite a common role, especially for those clients that want to grow. And we find that the behaviour of most sales agents is to go for the low-hanging fruit and look for those opportunities right now, but it's some of those longer opportunities that can be missed. So a very, very popular role in our business is to have someone working on doing those kind of longer lead time calls. Typically, it's a person who is between the age of 20 and 30. They might have had maybe 1 or 2 years experience before with a Western organisation, maybe American or Australian. They've been on the phone before. They've got good chat, so to speak. So, you know, they're not robotic in nature, sorry. They're, they've got that very nice flow of a conversation and they have the maturity to be able to understand that it's a conversation, it's not a script. So we look for the ability for people to have a good conversation and good chat. We look for a little bit of experience, but not 5 years plus, because it's a really learn on the job and someone who's comfortable communicating. And then we give them the skills and training and coaching to understand specifically how to have a good conversation with clients and or, you know, potential clients on behalf of that real estate agency.
I know from my personal experience that a lot of customers have concerns around the control of data and the security of their data. Talk us through what type of screening processes Beepo has in place to ensure that data is secure.
Yeah, so there's three main factors that come into play when thinking about security and privacy. And I'll just go through them quite briefly, but there is a kind of bigger piece if you want to understand this in more detail. The first one is staff background. So all of our staff go through a background check. They're also subject to what's called a clearance. Now, in the Philippines, you need to be cleared from your previous employer and get a clearance certificate to then go on and gain future employment in any sort of professional organisation. So if someone's had any fraudulent behaviour or something's gone wrong in their previous role, they won't have a clearance certificate and they won't get a job in the future, basically, in any professional organisation. So that clearance process does really help with ensuring that privacy and security. The second part to that is on-site security. So I'll talk about, kind of building and how the on-site is managed. So one of the things that we did when we founded Beepo was actually look at industry best practice. So looking at some of those centres that have, thousands of people taking calls for banks and telcos. And we mirrored our security systems and our layout of our office based on that. So perfect example of things like mobile phones are not permitted inside the operations area. So when you go up to work and you go through the doors into the operations area, there's no ability to take your mobile phone or, recording devices or anything like that. Also things like within the desktop environment, disabling USBs. So you can't actually copy data to a USB and take it anywhere. Other things like biometric scanners. So when you walk into the operations area, your thumbprint is taken as a record and that then allows you electronically to, the doors are open, you can get through into the operations area. And CCTV. CCTV is actually throughout most call centres and most environments in offices in the Philippines where there's foreign people operating businesses, and that's certainly the case in our office. Now, the third layer of security comes in around the actual IT and technology side. And, you know, our staff are accessing cloud-based systems for all of their clients. So, you know, they're accessing Rex or PropertyMe, PropertyTree, or they're using RDP to dial into other server-based systems. So it has to be really, really good focus on how the IT infrastructure ensures that privacy is maintained. And I'll give you an example in the cloud environment. All of our staff have to log in through a central authentication. They're not actually given the username and password of Rex. A password manager sets that up and they're simply given a login for a central portal. When they go into that portal, they then click on access to Rex and that is locked down to a particular IP in the building. So it means that that staff member can only access that cloud-based system in the building, in the BPO building when they're at work and during work hours. So they don't have access to the username and passwords. And even if they did, they wouldn't be able to log on off-site. So as I said, there is if you want to find out more information about that, probably a separate discussion because it is quite important one. But very broadly, it's those three things: understanding the staff background and doing the clearance. Secondly, the on-site security, the physical security on-site. And then thirdly, the IT infrastructure that supports that.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more secure than much of the office space we see in Australia, which is great. True. What about inducting staff directly? What part does the customer play in that staff induction?
So as I mentioned, we've got 2-week training certification that all of the staff go through before they work with a real estate client. Now, after that point, we encourage ongoing induction. And what I mean by that is, you know, you don't want to give staff a bit of overwhelm of all of the information, but you do want to run them through, you know, a little bit about your business and local area, what the expectations are, and obviously then get into task level training. But beyond, you know, when I talk about ongoing induction, one of the things that I think some of our clients do really well is they involve their Philippine staff member on any activities where relevant. So they might bring them in on monthly briefings or they might bring them in on occasions. I mean, there's one client when they have their quarterly awards that they actually do a little mini celebration in the Philippines. They order pizza and, you know, everyone jumps on Skype and they, you know, go through their quarterly awards and reward and recognition and they actually dial in their Philippines team from their Australian site. So the large chunk of that kind of industry context is done for our clients. But they do, of course, want to add more about their business and more, you know, more about the culture and getting to know the people as well.
Yeah, great. And I know that a lot of concerns that people have about an offshore team is integrating them into their local team. So that staff induction piece and then that continual engagement obviously plays a massive part in that.
Yeah. And look, clients who do that well are ones who talk to their staff about the reasons why they're thinking about getting outsourced assistance and you know, outsourced help. And it's not because, you know, we're taking jobs away from the local office. It's actually about supporting those local staff to free them up to add more value to the business and help the business grow. And they're actually, it should be a positive message. You know, it's all about getting those staff better supported to have the admin taken care. But there is a very important conversation that comes up next, which is, well, now that administration is being taken care for you, how are you going to add more value to the business and, you know, how do you KPI that and help support that person to move into a higher value role?
So, Amy, can you tell me about the hours that, you know, the office operates overseas at BPO?
So it's actually operating 24/7. Most of our real estate clients have got a staff member who's working Philippines time 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., which is Eastern Seaboard 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Of course, if you're over in the West and you're in Perth, it's actually the same time zone as Perth. But yeah, generally it's a 9 to 6 Eastern Seaboard and it's a 9-hour workday.
Great. And can the office service hours outside of those standard hours?
Yeah, absolutely. So some clients do have 24/7 operations and some real estate agents, particularly sales agents, are operating with staff on Saturdays as well.
Okay, great. And look, typically when you're working with people, there's always going to be performance issues. So can you tell us a little bit about who looks after performance management and how closely are the staff supervised in the BPO office?
So in terms of performance management, I think the first thing to focus on is back at the recruitment stage. So firstly, we try and get the right person and the right fit straight up. But from time to time, it doesn't happen. Performance management is largely, you know, helping that person be successful and helping them get up to speed is the role of BPO. What we do ask for our clients to help us with, though, is identifying if there's any areas of weakness and ensuring that the feedback to their team leader is quick. So if anyone's in a situation where they're, you know, just getting the feeling that person isn't up to scratch or they're not learning quick enough, then that's an opportunity for BPO to step in, for the team leader to support, but also our real estate trainer who can come in and look at, well, is it just that they need more help with the software, or can they maybe do some coaching with them on the way that they approach their calls? Now, if after that help and assistance, for any reason, they don't work out, then BPO manages their exit from the business and we replace and rehire someone to slot back into that role.
How many clients does each staff member service over in the BPO office?
So for us, it's really important that our clients have a person who is predominantly working on their actual tasks. So it's a one-to-one relationship. Even when someone has a part-time staff member, they're still working exclusively for that client. We don't have kind of half-half, where a staff member will be working a half day for one client and a half day for another. The reason why we do that is we know most of the time when clients have a part-time person, they're kind of testing the waters. When they test it out, they're like, wow, this, I get this now, this really works. So we leave that person ready to be able to take up a full-time role when that client is ready to have them on board as a full-timer.
Okay, that's great, Amy. Thank you for that. So I'm a real estate principal and I'm looking to engage with BPO. Is it okay if I just give you a small proportion of my rent roll to manage, just to sort of, you know, dip my toe in the water and see how things are going?
Yeah, and that's certainly how we've helped other clients before. You don't have to go, you know, all in from day one. It is a kind of journey. And I would suggest definitely, especially for those larger offices, and if you've got a portfolio structure, to test it out with one portfolio and to, you know, help that property manager be supported or be assisted with a property management assistant in the Philippines. And look at how you can actually grow that portfolio with that help offshore and freeing up that property manager maybe to go and help with another portfolio or maybe getting them more active in the BD space.
Fantastic. And tell me about employment legislation. So in many of the offices of the principals that we've spoken with, they have collective agreements in place that govern the employee relationships, the employment relationships they have with their staff. What do they employ them as?
So when you engage with BPO, you're basically engaging us as a supplier, just as a vendor. BPO takes care of all of the employment legislation in the Philippines, all of the industrial relations, HR, I mean, even to the extent of our, you know, staff events and, you know, Christmas parties and all that sort of stuff. So BPO 100% handle the relationship with the employee, and the real estate office is simply engaging BPO as a supplier. It's just a monthly bill. And yeah, it's just a simple monthly billing. So we take care of all of the employment aspects.
Fantastic. Well, listeners, that's all we've got for you today on this segment, the first part of our two-part series on outsourcing and offshoring for real estate. Stay tuned for the second part. Amy, if any of our audience wants to contact BPO about any offshoring possibilities, what do they need to do?
Yeah, just head to BPO.com. You'll see on the main page there the call out for real estate, so you can have a look at all of our packages and products and jump on there on the contact form that will come straight through to myself. And if not me, someone will get back to you straight away.
Right.